Joshua chapter 8, verse 27 is where we left off. And Joshua and the Israelites, with the blessings of God, have defeated the second city, and that's the little town of Ai. And it says in verse 28, and Joshua, actually verse 27, only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. So this time it was okay for them to take the spoils of their victory, unlike their first victory in Jericho, where they were commanded not to take anything. So, you know, you can't put God in the box. You have to be close to him. You have to have a relationship with him so that you can hear his voice, so that he can direct your steps, because God does not rule by precedence. He just rules by his wisdom, and every situation is different. Verse 28. And Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. Well, I suppose they could have moved in there. That maybe is what they expected, but it wasn't time for Israel to move out of their tents yet, so they burned the city after taking what they wanted. In verse 29. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. The king did not die like a soldier. He was hung like a criminal, which is what he was. He broke the laws of God. He led his people in the breaking of the commandments. And so as a leader, he led others away from the Lord as well. He was a criminal, and he was hung. Verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. God actually had commanded Israel back in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 5, to build this altar. It was before they crossed the Jordan River and entered the land. Good to obey God so that we can be assured of his help. It's also good to obey God to show our appreciation for his help. And when we fail, we need to confess and start obeying again. 31. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has lifted up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And so these were good time offerings. They had nothing to do with sin. They were all about thanking God for getting them into their new land. It's important to God that we thank him and that we show our appreciation to him. 32. And he wrote thereupon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Joshua, the military, spiritual, political leader, was also Joshua the sign painter. And so he letters the Ten Commandments and maybe other things on two very large billboards. He was a jack of all trades, I guess, 33. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priest, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger, as well as he that was born among them. Half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. All the Israelites stood by these two billboards with the Ark of the Covenant right there with them. And they are there to hear the word of God. 34 and afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. So Joshua read God's law, he read God's word, and he read it all. He read the promises, the commandments, and the warnings. I know some parts of the word of God are not pleasant to hear, but it's all important for us to hear. And that's why I teach verse by verse. Honestly, there may be other ministries that go verse by verse. I mean, I'm talking about touching every verse of the Bible, but I haven't seen them. There are many ministries that claim to teach verse by verse through the Bible, but basically they summarize a lot of the Bible instead of reading it. I just happen to think that God's word is more important than anything that I have to say. And Joshua read it all, and it should be read, every word of it. 35. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who walked among them. Joshua read the word of God that he had, and he read it from cover to cover. And if God did not want us to study all of his word, he would not have given us all of it. He would not have given us all of his word. And Paul talked about how he taught the whole counsel of God. And I've heard people say, mock that. And say, oh, I can't teach the whole counsel of God. And they almost commend themselves. They almost break their arm, patting themselves on the back. I don't know all the word of God. I'm not going to teach it. You know what? When you study it, then you can teach it. Take the time to study the whole counsel of God, then you can teach it. But it takes effort. Chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the borders of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite, the Hivite and the Jebusite, heard thereof. They heard about how God had been defeating the enemies of Israel for the last 40 years. And look at verse 2. That they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. So here is a unity. It is a unity of evil. In fact, I can tell you that any unity of man which does not include Almighty God and is therefore not subject to God will result in trouble. When sinful man gets together and they are not subject to God, the evil they can accomplish is staggering. Verse 3. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai. And by the way, Gibeon was just one of the nations that existed within the land of Canaan. They were on God's hit list, and they knew it. Verse 4. What did they do? They worked cunningly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wineskins, old and rent and bound up. Well, they were crafty. They were cunning. And to be cunning is to take something that sounds and looks right, that sounds and looks good, and use it to do wrong. Or to cause somebody else to do wrong. So the Gibeonites were crafty, they were cunning, and they will lead God's people astray because of God's people's carelessness and prayerlessness, by the way, as we will see. So what did they do? Verse 5, they took old and patched shoes upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. So to make the Israelites think that they are far beyond the borders of the Holy Land, the Gibeonites will say that these things that are listed in the last two verses were fresh. And they were fresh when they left home. And they were new when they left home. Clothes were new, shoes were new, bread was fresh. They're going to say that it took so long to get to Joshua that all these things are now old and worn out and moldy. 6. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We have come from a far country. Lie. Now therefore, make ye a league with us. The Gibeonites knew that God commanded all the impenitent sinners in the Holy Land, which included them, to be killed. And they also must have known that God told Israel that they could make peace treaties with nations outside of the land. And that's why they pretended to be from far away. No, we're not from the Promised Land. We're from way beyond. Now, let's make a treaty. So they knew the word of God, and they were trying to use it for their advantage. It says again in verse 6, And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We have come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. They say, We're from a far country. Well, that's pretty vague, isn't it? If you were Joshua, would you not have pressed for details? We're from a far country? He should have. And if he would have, he would have discovered that they were from an area only 20 miles away. 7. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Perhaps ye dwell among us. Then how shall we make a league with you? So Joshua and the other leaders are at least a little suspicious. They are doubting, which means they should not buy their story without investigating. It is unscriptural to go with something when we have doubts about it being the right thing to do. And they're definitely doubting. You doubt about something, do more research before you do it, so you can do it with a clear conscience. Verse 8, And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. Now just stop there for a second. There's another vague statement. Their answer, We are your servants, does not address the issue that Joshua raised at all. Their response was not an answer. It was an attempt to avoid the issue. Man, if someone can't give you a straight answer, if they avoid the issue, do not trust them. And so look at 8 and 9 together. And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants have come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him in all that he did in Egypt. Deception again. This time they use God's name to impress the Israelites. And you know what? That is taking God's name in vain. They want Joshua to respond with, They heard of our God. They're speaking well of God. Well, I guess they're okay. We'll just trust them. We won't ask them any more questions. We don't want to offend them. After all, they're saying nice things about our God. Verse 10. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. They pretend to respect God, but they do not. If they really respected God, they would have repented like Rahab did. Verse 11. Therefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, Take provisions with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, We are your servants. Therefore now, make ye a league with us. In other words, we're special messengers from important people back home. Boy, they're really laying it on thick. They're trying to impress Joshua. And maybe if Joshua believes that they're important, he won't press for details again. After all, you know, many people do not want to risk offending someone who is important. So these men are very slick. 13 or 12. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these skins of wine which we filled were new. And behold, they are rent. And these our garments and our shoes have become old by reason of a very long journey. They are lying about their food, they are lying about their clothing, and it all sounds very feasible, which is why it will work. People sometimes say, I can't believe I was deceived. It sounded so right. Well, that's why you were deceived.